turning their wives and dealing with Moses for just a few minutes this afternoon and attempt to establish parallel lines with his dealing with us. The first thing we need to think about Moses was he didn't begin meek. People who have a natural meekness don't have the meekness of Christ. The meekness of the Spirit of God is not of nature. There are some folk who are kind of the milquetoast type, and there are folk who think that this is meekness. Weakness is not meekness. The man Moses didn't begin a milquetoast. He was a hot-blooded person, and one day he was riding in the second chariot of the land, and he saw an Egyptian striving with another person, and Moses got out. And because this Egyptian was striving against the child of Israel, Moses overcame the Egyptian. He smote him and he killed him and he hid him in the sand. He did it suddenly without thought or consideration. And the next day, Moses was again out, and he saw two Israelites striving together, his own people, the people of God, striving against each other, having trouble. And Moses thought surely they would understand that God had sent him to them, and he rebuked the one who was in the wrong. The man who was in the wrong said, "Who are you to rule over us? What will you do? Will you kill me and hide me in the sand, as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses knew that this thing was known, and he fled. And this was the beginning of God making a meek man of Moses. He acted in haste. He acted for God, but he acted in haste. He moved too quickly. He had to learn to wait on God. He killed an Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. And the people of God remember an action like this. And if you're ever going to help the people of God, they'll help to do away with some of your pride. They'll help you to meekness. Because they'll help you to remember that Egyptian that you killed and hid in the sand. You've forgotten all about him. It's something done in haste. It's something you've forgotten all about. But you go to a brother when brethren are striving together and go to the one who's wrong. And he'll help you remember. In short order, he'll help you remember the Egyptian you killed and hid in the sand and you thought no man knew it. Find a brother who's wrong. Try to help him. He'll help you remember about that Egyptian. And God used it. God used this in the life of Moses, not to embitter him, but to better him. To make a man of him. A man whom God could say was a very meek man when tried. And then the next thing that God used in the life of Moses was 40 years in the wilderness. He used this. Oh, Moses knew that God wanted him to deliver the people of Israel And Moses supposed that the people of God would know this. Moses knew it, and he supposed that God had communicated with his people. But it was 40 years of waiting before they were ready and before Moses was ready. And 40 years went by with Moses on the backside of the desert, with Moses along with God, and this contributed to his meekness. No more Egyptians were going to be slain by Moses. No more hasty actions after 40 years of waiting. This time he came back a different man than he went. He came back a chastened man, a man who had learned to wait on God. And it was on the backside of the desert that Moses saw the burning bush and took off the shoes from off his feet. God told him, the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Then God used family trouble to make a meek man out of this hot-headed fellow. And I don't know a better purpose for family trouble, strife, and bitterness within a family than to make men and women meek before God. 1st, there was Moses' wife, Zipporah. Her name means my little bird. She was the daughter of Jethro, his only daughter, apparently. There's only one thing recorded that Zipporah ever said. And I suppose a lifetime of bitterness and submission and family trouble were summed up in the one thing that she said. One night, they were in an inn, and she made her one remark that God records, "Thou art a bloody husband." And that's all she ever said. She didn't need to say anything more. That would humble any man. That was the summation of Moses' marriage so far as Zipporah was concerned. Because his heart was crushed between what Almighty God said you must do and what Zipporah said, I won't allow. And Moses that night had to choose, and it crushed him. But he did what God said he should do. And she said, "Thou art a bloody husband." And that's her only remark, but a rather eloquent remark on this man's marriage. But that wasn't all the family trouble he had that helped to humble him. Moses had a sister, most of us do. Moses had a sister. And he had an older brother. Many of us have that. And these folk elected not to accept his wife. And this will humble any man. When those whom you love and those with whom you are tied by blood, your own family, refuse the woman whom you choose to marry and to love, they won't love her. They won't have her. They keep reminding him, she is an Egyptian. And the Bible says she was an Egyptian. Oh, they didn't lie about her. They weren't that kind of people. No, they weren't. Miriam never lied about Zipporah. She just wouldn't let it rest. She is an Egyptian. She is an Egyptian. She is an Egyptian. Every day they heard it. You don't have to lie to hurt people. You don't have to lie. The truth that ought to be left lay sometimes will hurt more deeply than all the lies you could pack together. And what sister doesn't know that? And Miriam knew that. She was too good to lie. She just told the brutal truth. And how it hurt. Oh, how it hurt. But you know, it did a lot of good. It made a meek man of Moses. He had to face that woman, that sister of his, every day and say, yes, she is an Egyptian, but I love her. She is an Egyptian, Miriam. She is an Egyptian, Aaron, but I love her. They couldn't forgive him for loving his own wife. They wouldn't forget. And this, God used not to make a bitter man of him, but to make a better man of him. Moses was the meekest man of all the men on the earth. Family troubles, bitterness. Can either make us people of God, or it can turn us away from the people of God. We should learn a lesson from this man Moses. And when family problems come and bitterness comes, see that it makes meek people of us before God, like it did that Moses. It's a terrible commentary on the life of Aaron and Miriam. The fact that here was a woman, Zipporah, who had been brought among the people of God and was made a better person, this made them angry. One day someone asked Socrates, what would be the worst thing that could happen to a wicked man? And Socrates wisely answered, the worst thing that could happen to a wicked man would be to see good people become more virtuous. And this is true. There's nothing that wicked people hate more than to see goodness and more of it. It's a rather sad commentary on Miriam and Aaron. You know, after Miriam made this attack on Moses, God struck her with leprosy, if you read on there. God judged her. Before this, she had been leading the singing, the sisters. She had led their praises. And I don't think she ever did again. At least it isn't mentioned. After this time, after she attacked the man of God, after she talked against his wife, and she and Aaron formed this alliance, this wicked alliance against the man of God. Miriam is never leading anyone singing again. You can cook your goose with God, you know. There are some of us, we wouldn't murder anyone, but we can undermine a character. And character assassination is much more cruel than murder. And then, one thing that must have helped Moses to become a meek man was the kind of mother he had. I don't know much about her. Jochebed was her mother, was his mother. Abraham Lincoln said, I've never known a good man who had, no, Abraham Lincoln said, I've never known a bad woman who produced a good son. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my darling mother. A tribute to his mother. Jochebed must have been a wonderful woman. She just about had to be. Look at the people she produced. Aaron. Miriam. Moses. From one womb. What kind of woman was this? A giant person. You remember in Esau's fable? The fox, the mother fox was talking. The lioness. The mother fox was bragging she had eight, well, eight little foxes. She said to mother lioness, how many do you have? Said the mother fox to the lioness. The mother lion said, I have but one. But he's a lion. Of this woman, Jochebed produced three giants, three mighty people. What a mother she must have been. No wonder he was meek with a mother like that. A good mother produces meek men. We're told in the scriptures that Moses had accomplished all the learning there was in Egypt. That will make a meek man of anyone. For some folk may seem to be afraid of learning. This smattering sort of thing that some folk have is something you should be afraid of. But don't ever be afraid of learning, of knowledge. Anyone who learns a little something is never made big-headed. If you get some knowledge, you're never made big-headed. It's ignorance that makes people big-headed. And the more colossal one's ignorance, the greater the swelling of the head. But knowledge never made anyone's head big. It's a humiliating thing to get just a little knowledge. It's a most humiliating thing to have all the vistas of what might be known open to one and find out an inkling of what one has no knowledge of. An educator has said, so far as knowledge is concerned, Conti said this, so far as knowledge is concerned, we have but scratched the outside of the door and have not yet entered the fire. Moses was learned in all the arts of Egypt. It made a neat man of him. And then, lastly, Moses was in the mount with God 40 days. He was face to face with God. He met God. We've been talking about that. He met God. This makes a meek man of anyone. When someone has spiritual pride, they haven't met God. When someone can talk of spiritual attainment, they just need to meet God. When anyone has an inflated idea of their own spiritual accomplishments, they only need to meet God face to face. They'll never open their mouth about themselves again. Never. Moses met God and talked to him 40 days. He came down meek man. And then what happened? People talked against him. And what did he do? Why, God caused that woman to break out with leprosy. And Aaron couldn't pray for her. They came to Moses, and Moses said, "Heal her now, O God." Moses was a human being, and he might have rationalized had he been a rationalist, but he wasn't, thank God. He might have rationalized and have said, "Now look, folks, the Lord knows best. The Lord made you leprous. And in his own good time, when he sees fit, he can take the leprosy away." He could have said that. But Moses was a meek man. And as soon as he heard she was leprous, he turned to God and said, "Heal her now." Oh God, he had been face to face with God. And it made a meek man of him. As God dealt with Moses, so God deals with you and me. God's purposes are the same today. He wants to mold us and to make us into the likeness of the meekest of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. I once stood on the outside of the post office at Salina, Kansas, with a Negro man named B.M. Nottage from Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Nottage was a rather large man. He looked up at the sculptor who was working on the Pioneer Woman. He was cutting it out of stone there on the front of this large building, a WPA project sort of thing. B.M. Nottage said to me, "That's just what God is doing with me." The artist would look down at a plaster of Paris likeness down on the ground, and then he would chisel away. And then he would look again at the plaster of Paris model on the ground. And then he would cut some more stone. And B.M. Nottage said, "That's just what God is doing with me. Knocking off the rough edges so some image of Christ can begin to show through." And when I go through Salina, I frequently pass the post office and I always think of Mr. Nottage. And what he said, "When I see the finished product, long since finished, that's just what God is doing." That's what God did with Moses. That's what God is doing with you and me. We should be submissive to him. He's working us over for his glory.